This morning, I'd like to just walk you through four very critical and important characteristics of the Word of God. First, let's talk about the perpetual Word of God. This word for living, the Greek word zoon, it's the Greek word that zoology comes from. Zoology means, or biology, zoology means the study of animal life. Biology, the study of human life. But this word zoon is at the root of all life. It's placed here in this verse in the empathic position in the original language, and that means that it's not just living at a point in time, but it keeps on living. It never dies. It is perpetual. The Word of God is no dead letter, dear friend, but as the Word of the living God, it cannot itself fail to be living itself. As long as God lives, His Word lives. Once I perish from this earth, some of you who are still alive at that time may remember something that I said. But my voice will never say anything again. Because when I die, my voice box dies with me. You may have a recording of my voice, but you will never hear my living, breathing, actual voice again. But with God's Word, since He is timeless, because He is eternal, because He is living, because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, the living Word will always be. It will never fade. It will always be there. I don't know about you, but there have been many times in my life when I am at my darkest, or when I need a word from the Lord, and instantaneously the Holy Spirit puts a verse of Scripture in my mind that brings me comfort, that brings me peace, that brings me purpose. Why is that? Because the Word is zoon. It's living. It's perpetual. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 remind us that all Scripture is God-breathed. And as I heard one old Southern preacher say, and God ain't got bad breath. God doesn't need a dose of scope. God's breath is alive, and He literally breathed and inspired. That's when we say Scripture is inspired. It means that the Holy Spirit of God breathed into the human author His perfection, His wisdom, His Word. And as I've mentioned to you before, it's impossible for me to be perfect for any extended period of time, but I can be perfect in one single act. Have any of you ever gotten 100 on a test? You did, didn't you? Well, some of you haven't, but that's okay. It is possible for us to be perfect in an act. Why? Because God helped you remember all of the things that you studied. Some of you may have studied for that test for weeks. Others of you are like me and postpone everything to the last possible minute, and you cram and then regurgitate onto a test paper. However you studied, you prepared and you aced the test. But just imagine these human authors writing absolute perfection over an extended period of time. I can't be perfect from moment to moment, but these human authors wrote absolute perfection. Why? Because they were under the inspiration, under the very breath of God, who is perfect. The Word of God is perpetual. Next, the Word of God is powerful. The powerful Word of God. It's alive, living, and verse 12 also says that it is active. This word for active is the word energes. It's the word we get energy from. It means to be energetic. It means to be at work. The thing about us as flawed human beings is that we may get a good night's sleep. We may get up and start working at the crack of dawn, but there will come a time while you are working and giving it your all that you will become tired. Our energy only lasts for a certain period of time, and depending upon your cardiovascular health, your energy may fade much faster than someone who is a little healthier. I get winded walking to the mailbox. But then I see someone else from my neighborhood running at a rapid pace, and I see him at one end of the neighborhood, and then I see him at the other end of the neighborhood, and they haven't slowed down a bit. Now, who knows if they've taken a break in between there sometime, but my goodness, where do they get all that energy from? Have you ever said that about children? If I could just harness that. If I could just know what I know now and go about it with that kind of energy, wow, how effective could I be? But we run out of energy. But aren't you glad that God's Word never runs out of power? It never runs out of energy, because God is the infinite source, and He constantly fuels His Word with power. I love what Chuck Swindoll writes about the Word of God. He says, news articles may inform us, novels may inspire us, poetry may enrapture us, but only the living, powerful Word of God can transform us. The Word is living, it is powerful, and so when we read its words, they reach out and they touch us to the very core. They reach to the very deepest, darkest need of our lives and bring us to a point of sustainment. God may never change your situation, but He certainly can change your attitude about it. Many of us pray for God to deliver us from this, deliver us from that. And God says, I want to sustain you by my powerful right hand through it. We say, build a bridge and get over it. God says, let me walk with you through it. And He does that through His powerful Word. Isaiah 55:11 describes Scripture as being a living agent or a messenger that God sends to touch our lives. Listen to what God says in this passage. My word will not return to me empty or void, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The Word of God has the power of God. It has the transforming power of God. It has everything that God wants you to know and the energy and the strength to get through it. So unlike any other book, the Bible is both living, it is perpetual, and it is powerful. Next, it is penetrating. Like a sharp sword which can lay open the human body with one slashing blow, so the sword of the Spirit, the Scriptures of God, can open our inner life and expose it to ourselves and to others. Have you ever read a verse and the Holy Spirit spoke, and man, you became aware? It's not like you maybe weren't aware of it before, but man, that verse just brought conviction upon your life that there's something that you're doing, there's something that you're thinking, there's something that's going on in your life that needs to change. And it's not because anybody wagged their finger in your face and told you that you were going to hell. It's because the living, breathing, active, penetrating Word of God brought conviction upon your soul that no human being needed to say. It penetrated. It can penetrate with conviction, and it can also penetrate with comfort. Have you ever been mourning the loss of a loved one or grieving over a situation in your life, and then all of a sudden you read that verse and it penetrated right to the very heart of what you're going through and said, you know what, God said He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I can get through this with Him. It penetrates. In the Roman world, there were two distinctly different types of swords. There was a large sword that was long, heavy, and destructive. And then there was a short sword called a Machaira. By the way, the Machaira is the type of sword that the Apostle Peter drew from his belt when the centurion guards came to arrest Jesus in the garden. And he was going to split that messenger's head like a coconut. And Jesus moved his head to the side just in time for him to just lop off his ear. Jesus didn't want Peter to be a murderer, especially when it was his plan all along to go and hang on that cross. But that Machaira is a short sword. It was lightweight and it was double-edged and deadly because it cut both ways. The long sword only had a blade on one side, but the Machaira had a blade on both sides so that when they swiped back and then forth, it cut both ways. What the author is saying here is that God's Word can reach into the innermost recesses of our being. No heart is too tough. No soul is too dark. Have you ever just known someone, perhaps a family member, perhaps someone that you've been praying for who's just hardened their heart toward the things of God? They've been through difficult circumstances, or they've just seen too much evil in this world, and they say, you know what? If this is the way the world is, God couldn't possibly exist. But I want to tell you, dear friend, that His Word can cut through the most cynical, the most belligerent, the most recalcitrant. If you don't know what that word means, look it up. All you got to say is Google, what does a recalcitrant mean? And it'll tell you right then. But it's not good. And I'll tell you what, no matter how hard-headed, no matter how stubborn, no matter how calcified your thoughts are about the things of God, the Word of God can penetrate it in a moment. Why? Because it's that sword, that penetrating word that can pierce to the very depth of a person's soul. I love the story that Charles Haddon Spurgeon told about this group that was following the evangelist George Whitefield around in the 18th century. George Whitefield was an 18th century evangelist, led thousands and thousands of people to Christ. But there was a group that was mocking him, and they would follow him to every city. They were called the Hellfire Club. And one night, the Hellfire Club met to have one of their mockery meetings of George Whitefield and to strategize about how they could try to derail this evangelist. You know, whenever God's Word is at work, Satan isn't very far behind. And this Hellfire Club was holding a meeting at a local pub, and there was a man named Mr. Thorpe, and he was kind of the leader of their little mockery gang. And Mr. Thorpe began to stand up and mock and make fun of George Whitefield. George Whitefield had very poor vision, and he squinted all the time. Of course, they didn't have optometrists and ophthalmologists the way that we do today. They didn't have the advanced way that they can make glasses that fit your vision and give you 20/20 regardless of how bad your eyes are. So he wore these little spectacles and he squinted. So they called him Mr. Squintum just to mock him. And Thorpe stood up and began his best impression of Whitefield, and he was reading what he had written down, and he had just happened to write down a verse of Scripture that said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And the sermon that began as a mockery actually transformed Mr. Thorpe on the spot. As Mr. Thorpe read the Word of God, it penetrated through all that calcification, through all that junk in his life, that he was mocking the Word of God, but the Word of God was transforming him. Amen. Mr. Thorpe became one of the greatest religious leaders of his city because the Word transformed him. It penetrated. What Satan intended for evil, God meant for good. And that's how the Word penetrates to the very soul, to the very motive. But not only is it the penetrating Word, finally it is the perceptive Word. It is a discerning Word. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13 says, "And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." How is the Word perceptive? First, it exposes our true character. Only the Word of God is capable of exposing your thoughts, your attitudes, and your heart toward anything. Because you can fake it until you make it in this life. But God will always see right through the falsehood and know you for who you really are. God's Word is perceptive. It exposes your true character. It is laid bare. The word here for laid bare is tetrakelismena. And this literally refers to the bending someone's neck backward so that the face is looking upward. Have you ever been so low that all you can do is look up? God's Word has a way of bringing us to that point. This vivid term describes either the grip of a wrestler on the neck of his opponent or the grip on the neck of a sacrificial victim prepared for sacrifice. And sometimes it was used to describe how a man being led to execution had a knife placed beneath his chin so that he could not hang his head in shame and avoid those judgmental gazes of the onlookers. Whatever the exact nature of the picture that is being drawn here means, it is important to understand that it speaks to being in the grip of an all-powerful God and to be vulnerable and helpless to have all your secrets known. That's who God is. He looks right through all the facade and sees your core, your center. He knows who is His and He knows who's not. The Word of God possesses the diagnostic perception that picks up inconsistencies in our lives, even in our very motivations. With God, we cannot smooth over. We can't fake our outward actions. The real intentions of our hearts are always known to Him. We may appear to be sincere to others, but God knows if there's an ulterior motive. The Word exposes our true character. And likewise, it exposes our true character when it's genuine, when it's honest. Have you ever dropped the flowery language in your prayer life and just said, "God, help me"? I don't know about you, but it's those honest prayers that God seems to really honor. It's those honest prayers that God doesn't need all your theological jargon. He doesn't need all your flowery speech. He isn't impressed with what you know because He knows it all. All He wants is your true and honest approach to His throne. That's why the Bible says, God, gives grace to the humble. He exalts the humble but resists the proud. The word exposes our true character. And finally, the word examines our motives. In the last part of verse 13, it says, all things are laid bare or open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This verse plainly tells us that there is coming a day of reckoning upon which we must give an account for our lives. The day of excuses will be over. The book of Romans tells us there is coming a time when every mouth will be stopped. There will be no more. No more speaking, no more defense, no more rationalizations. The Apostle Paul warns in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that we may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Let me conclude by sharing something written many, many years ago by a man named Samuel Chadwick. Listen to what he said about the Word of God. I have guided my life by the Bible for more than 60 years, and I tell you there is no book like it on earth. It is a miracle of literature, a perennial spring of wisdom, a wonder of surprises, a revelation of mystery, an infallible guide of conduct, and an unspeakable source of comfort. Pay no attention to people who discredit it, for I tell you that they speak without knowledge. It is the Word of God itself. Study it according to its own direction. Live by its principles. Believe its messages. Follow its precepts. No man is uneducated who knows the Bible. And no one is wise who is ignorant of its teachings. The Word of God. There's simply nothing else like it.